Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The Good News in Shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located here in beautiful Green Acres, Florida. We're a local family-oriented church that places a great emphasis on teaching the Word of God without today's current trends and compromises. Our church meets every Sunday at the Green Acres Community Center, located at 501 Swain Boulevard at the intersection of 10th Avenue North. Worship begins at 10:30 a.m. Stay tuned now as we go to today's message being taught by our pastor and Bible teacher, Dan Foster.
Remember the Exodus out of Egypt, the children of Israel in the book of Exodus, to name one of many, Numbers as well and so forth. But we've often used it as a metaphor for the Christian life. The coming of the Egyptians out of Egypt is a metaphor for the Christian life because the Israelites were rescued from Pharaoh's Egypt by miraculous means, and then they were sealed by the closing of the Red Sea. So they were rescued out of Egypt, and Egypt was under the control and command of Pharaoh, who's a type of the devil, who controls the world system. And rescued out of the world system, out of Satan's world system, by miraculous means, which is becoming born again. That is a miracle. And then the Red Sea closing behind them, and that is the sealing. We were sealed. The door was shut behind us so that we could not go back to Egypt. We could not become unsaved. We were now in the wilderness, but out of Egypt forever. And in the wilderness, we learned faith over sight. And for 40 years, the children of Israel, God was attempting to teach them faith over sight, to believe what he said above and beyond what they saw and what they felt, to take his word over and above it. And then after 40 years, the next generation of Israelites were ready now to walk by faith into the land of provision, or the land of promises. A land of promises is a land of provision. It's where God promises to take care of everything, and so it's the land of provision. So in this land of provision, where those who enter into it cross the Jordan, and they enter in knowing who they are, that they are God's people, and they know what they have, which is their inheritance, and by faith they embrace it. We as Christians, in this ongoing metaphor here, we as Christians, we enter into maturity as a Christian. We enter into understanding the grace of God by knowing who we are in Christ and what he has accomplished for us and what we have in terms of the benefits of that accomplishment in our lives. We have all, we understand that, and we embrace that. So in Canaan, in the land of provision, we have abundant grace. In the wilderness, the children of Israel had sustaining grace. They were learning to walk by faith. Sometimes they succeeded in doing that, and often they failed to do that. They let the circumstances get the best of them. They let the situation overwhelm them, and they panicked. They didn't live in faith. But God still sustained them while they were learning. He still fed them every single day of their lives. He gave them clothes. He gave them shoes. He gave them health. He gave them food. He gave them everything they needed to be sustained while he was training them. But then it was the time to grow up, the time for maturity. Time to go into the land of provision, the land of promises, and claim what is yours by faith. And as soon as the believer steps into grace, we learn grace, we hear about grace. As soon as we step into grace, we have stepped into the land of provision. And just like back here, as soon as the Israelites stepped into Canaan, as soon as they stepped into their promised land, as soon as they did, they were told that seven nations would oppose them. So come on in. This is the land of provision, the land of plenty, the land of promises, the place where God wants you to claim what is rightfully yours, to know who you are in Christ and have it all. But by the way, the moment you step foot into the land, you will have seven enemies who will oppose you from being there. These enemies do not want you to be there. They want you out of there. And then just as the believer enters into grace, he enters into grace, then the same thing occurs. As soon as he begins to enter into grace, he has enemies that oppose him from being a grace believer. So Deuteronomy 7:1 explains it. When the Lord your God shall bring you into the land wherewith you go to possess it, and he has cast out many nations before you, and these are the nations, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations need to be cast out as you go in, because they're going to oppose you every turn. And these seven nations, it says in verse 1, are greater and mightier than you. Which means you're going to have to deal with these nations, but by the way, they are greater and mightier than you, so it's going to have to be done once again through miraculous means. God is going to have to come to your rescue once again as you walk by faith, because you couldn't handle these people on your own. You'd never be able to experience victory on your own. God is going to have to bring the victory. Verse 2 says this, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver you from before thee, deliver them from before you, you shall smite them, you will utterly destroy them, you shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. You have nothing whatsoever to do with these people. You don't try to make peace with them. You don't try to compromise in any way. Just as the Christian is told, don't compromise with the world to try to get along with the world and make things go easier. You're going to have enemies if you're walking by faith and grace. You'll have enemies, and don't compromise that, because compromise will have severe results in your midst. Verse 4 describes it. Jump down to 4. For they, if you try to compromise, have covenant with them, or have mercy upon them, or try to get along with the world, then they will turn away your sons from following me and teach them to serve other gods. That'll be the result of compromise. So the believer and the grace believer who is in the land of provision is going to have to not compromise with the world, but derive his life from his relationship with Jesus Christ. Grace is the nature of God. 1 Peter 5:10, he is the God of all grace. We said recently, grace is God's disposition. His nature is love, and his disposition is always gracious. Spiritual warfare, this is important, spiritual warfare, kingdom warfare, is Satan's fight against grace. And Satan does fight against grace. That's the one thing in this world he is opposed to. All spiritual warfare is aimed at grace. The grace that saves you first, he's opposed to, and then the grace that enables you to live and to walk the Christian way of life. He's opposed to it on every hand. So when you first get saved, he's opposed to the grace of evangelism. When we say you can just come as you are and receive Christ and be saved and go to heaven, he hates that. He's opposed to that. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says that explicitly in there. He is completely against salvation grace. Then he is against the grace that enables you to walk the Christian life. He doesn't want you to walk by grace. He wants you to walk a different path. So Satan does everything to keep people from understanding and appropriating the grace of God. He wants to blind the minds of the unsaved to keep them from seeing the marvelous grace of God. And when you present the gospel to them, he wants to tell them that that's a joke. Laugh at that. That's ridiculous. You can't just say a prayer. You can't just put your faith in something and expect that that's all it's going to take. That's cheap. It's too easy. And so he's always fighting against grace. The same thing with the Christian walk. He's always fighting against grace. He does everything from keep people from understanding it. He hates every message of grace. He hates every message of grace, tries to hinder people from hearing it, hinder people from receiving it, hinder people from attending a grace church, not just this one, but every grace church that's in the world today. Not just Greater Grace, but every other church that teaches grace. He tries to hinder people from attending, hinder people from listening, hinder people from growing, hinder people from gaining ground in grace. Now, any church or preacher who does not emphasize grace is teaching a man-centered gospel. Say it again. Any church, any preacher who does not emphasize the grace of God in their messages is teaching a man-centered gospel. So let's say I'm looking for a church. I go to the first church on the corner. I go in there and I sit it out for a couple of months, but every message I hear is on prophecy. Every message, the guy is hung up on prophecy. Wednesday night, prophecy, Sunday morning, more prophecy, more end times messages, more end times messages. Interesting stuff, fascinating stuff, but I'm not getting grace. I'm getting end times. The devil doesn't mind that. It doesn't bother him. It doesn't irritate him to hear about that. As long as there's no grace. So I'm tired of that, and I go down this corner to the next corner, and there's another church there, and I go to that church, and I sit in that church, and that church is all about works. It's all about what I need to do to please God, what I need to do to be better, what I need to do to be more spiritual, what I need to do to be a more excellent Christian, it's all about what I need to do. It's man-centered. There's no grace in that church, and Satan is not opposed to that church. The more people that go there, the better. Let them all learn about works. If they get tired of works, they can go back to the other corner and learn about the end times for a while. And then if they get sick of that, they come back and learn about works. He's not opposed to either one of them. Then I get tired of that, and I go down to the next corner, and there's another church there, beautiful little building, nice programs. Looks like they got a nice group of people in there. And I go to that church, and every message is about prosperity. About how I can get God to bless me. Bless my throat. How I get God to bless me. How I get God to...
Thank you for listening to Grace Thoughts, the radio ministry of Greater Grace Church, located in Green Acres, Florida. Grace Thoughts can be heard daily at 12 p.m. on this same station. For complete messages and information about our ministry, you can visit us on the web at greatergracechurch.net. Again, that's greatergracechurch.net. Donations can be made directly through the website or mail us at Grace Thoughts, P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. That's P.O. Box 540993, Green Acres, Florida, 33454. We hope you've enjoyed today's program and will tune in to us next time as we consider together God's heart toward us in Grace Thoughts.
Port St. Lucie First Church of the Nazarene is a church on the move. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer.